This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. Kauai has managed to keep its COVID cases in the double digits. Its small population makes it more manageable in some ways, but its remoteness has made it a challenge in other ways. Case in point, the Love Has Won religious cult that tried to relocate there. It was met with community pushback, particularly after its leader claimed to be a reincarnation of Madame Pele. Mayor Kawakami says the community can't let its guard down if it wants to keep its COVID cases down.
On Kauai, we don't have the luxury of being able to be too reactive because things can blow up very quickly. Of course, we do have the smallest population, so that really helps out. We've just had to make some very tough decisions that, you know, a lot of people had to make some sacrifices for, but our top priority when we set it was to maintain the health and safety as well as lead the economic recovery as we sort of learn to coexist with this virus.
You know, I know Mayor Victorino, you know, had a bit of advice just saying, you know, I know there's a lot of, you know, finger pointing going around, you know, the blame game at this point as we see the numbers spike in these various counties. You know, he was saying, look, we just got to pull together and get through this, but pull together.
Yeah, he couldn't have spoke truer words. You know, where you know, in a time of crisis, teamwork is critical, and in order to have good team, you have to have trust, and the foundation of trust is having good effective leadership up and down the ladder. So I think as we move along, you know, the communication has improved and will continue to improve, and that in and of itself should improve the trust, not just with the team but with the general public as well. I mean, that's key to get compliance, is to have our people put their trust in government that we're making the very best decisions on everyone's behalf. And so the leadership change that occurred at the state level, it is unfortunate, but to look at a silver lining, it gives the state and the counties this very narrow window of opportunity to relook at how we do things and make adjustments and changes. If we fall back to the same rhythm of not being effective communicators, you know, it's going to be hard to see any improvement, no matter who's in those key positions. So I look forward to it. We have a great working relationship across the mayors and up and down the chain of command as well.
I know Mayor Kim wholeheartedly gave his support to the health department division there on the Big Island. And I don't know how you feel, if you think you've got enough contact tracers and investigators for your numbers and capacity in case, you know, this thing does take off.
We do. I have the full faith in our Kauai District Health Office. In fact, I take the health department as a resource that's being available to the governor and the mayors. And so even at the state level, we've been able to take the information that they gave us and make some key decisions and not wait on anything. But as far as the contact tracers, we do have the assurances from our district health officer, Dr. Janet Behrman, that we do have enough contact tracers. But, you know, contact tracing, testing are just they're just a part of the toolbox. I think what happens is, you know, you start hearing these phrases like contact tracing and surge testing, and people will tend to get hung up that this is a silver bullet, but it doesn't work that way. The holy grail is prevention. That means just preventing people from getting sick, and that's where the most important components as far as testing, and then not only the testing, but the compliance with everyone using a mask to keep germs to themselves, just washing their hands and avoid large gatherings come into place. Because if you have significant community spread, there it's going to be hard for any community to have enough contact tracers to be able to move as quick as this virus moves. And that's why the contact tracing component is at the front end, and we try to avoid that sort of community spread where you have clusters throughout the island, because at that point, you know, you just have contact tracers burnt out and getting criticized, when the reality is that it's very hard for them to do their job at that point.
DLNR, I think, is considering reopening Polihale State Park, and there was a large gathering back in July.
There were large gatherings from the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, those are some of the areas where, when we had our stay-home order and we had very strict rules against gathering, these are places where people would try to go to sort of get around some of the compliance that we've been asking for the community. So, you know, DLNR can go ahead and open. I would say that, you know, people just got to understand that there's rules, and it does require some sacrifice if they want to keep things open. But DLNR doesn't have the resources to be able to sort of monitor every single open space that they're trying to keep open for the public. If it's going to stay open, it's going to be up to us to be doing the right things, to enjoy the outdoors in a responsible manner. And if it closes down, it's going to be because of us. So we have to take accountability, and at times we need to take a look in the mirror.
And you had a situation there a little more than a week ago where you had to intervene, the cult group from Colorado, and a problem with some of the community members there. Talk about that.
You know, we don't have any problems with different belief systems. You know, the first thing I did when I came in as mayor is say, hey, you know, this National Day of Prayer, we're going to bring in all the groups. We're going to bring in Christian groups, and we're going to bring in Buddhist, Hindus, Jewish communities. Everybody under the sun can put their differences aside for one day to show the people and show the world that we can coexist. And so, you know, we have constitutional rights as far as freedom of religion. What became a problem is this particular group was very aggressive. They were very disrespectful right off the bat. And because of this, you know, our community out on the North Shore was already sort of going through the aftermath of the floods of 2018, Hurricane Lane and that aftermath. And now with a pandemic, there's a level of anxiety and fear. And to have an aggressive group come in, and rightfully so, I mean, they have a right to come in, they quarantine. They were renting, you know, a house. But the community also has a right to peacefully assemble and express their thoughts, and they did. And we don't know what happened over the night. We're not pointing fingers at any particular person or group because there is no evidence up until this point, but there was property damage. And so as mayor, all I did was go to both groups, to the local residents in Wainiha. I had to remind them that until it becomes unlawful, they have a right to peacefully assemble until it becomes unpeaceful. And then we're just going to come and put an end to it because there are rules. You know, to the other group, the Love Has Won organization, I very respectfully went up and introduced myself. And I just said that this sort of welcoming committee is sort of what you can expect to be faced with across the island. And in fact, because you folks made such a first impression, I would go out on a limb to say that you could probably expect this type of response across the state of Hawaii, especially when you claim to be a sacred deity in our culture. It's going to hit a nerve. And so I said, these officers are here to make sure everyone is safe. Of course, you know, we can't have officers out here 24 hours a day, and I just want to make sure everybody is safe. And that was the gist of the message. And the very next day, they had decided that their stay on Kauai was coming down to a wind-down period. And so they peacefully departed, of course, with the assistance of my managing director, Mike DeHealy, KPD, and a number of other partners that came together to make sure that they were safe, and that they had their belongings intact, and that they were able to catch a flight out.
Are you concerned, you know, this is making, you know, national headlines and there could be some backlash?
No. I mean, this type of job I have, half of the people are going to be satisfied. Half of the people are not going to be satisfied. And that's sort of when I know I'm just right. You know, it's like Goldilocks. The porridge is too hot. The porridge is too cold. The porridge is just right. So, I mean, as far as backlash, nah, I just got to do what I think is the right thing to do to be able to keep the peace and make sure people are safe. So, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. And there were no arrests on either side, either with Madam Pele's group or?
No, yeah. Madam Pele. Nah, there weren't any arrests. And that's what we were trying to avoid is having a situation where arrests needed to be made, or ultimately the worst case scenario is if somebody got hurt, because there's kids. you know, that was my biggest concern, is that there were kids in the surrounding area on both ends, from what I understand. So I think we made the best out of a challenging situation. And, you know, it's just another day in the life of a mayor, dealing with pandemic, cults, and what's next.
And then I know there's been lots of talk about the resort bubbles. Anything you can share with us on that front?
The thing that people need to understand is that, you know, for months, the safe travel plan, as far as pre-testing, was slated to get the green light first in August, and then it got pushed back. And now I think the governor and the state is looking at October. But there's a level of uncertainty. And so very quickly, after the delay in August, we started taking a look at contingency plans, because we realized that a lot of the operations didn't have contingency plans in place if plan A fell through. So some of the big components of the resort bubble is, one, it's not mandatory. These are options available for resorts that want to participate, that have a level of confidence that they can keep their associates safe, they can keep their guests safe, and then the island safe as well. Two, you know, this resort bubble concept will help aid law enforcement, because right now, as of today, I'm not sure how many people are under quarantine monitoring, but last week it was up to about 1,700, close to 1,800 individuals that our law enforcement, National Guard, and Kauai Visitors Bureau has to go and do wellness checks to make sure that they're complying with quarantine. So from a law enforcement perspective, it's easier to be able to manage the quarantine monitoring and enforcement if there are locations that are identified. And as far as quarantine violators, a lot of it is because they're stuck in a room for 14 days, and that is going to pull some individuals in the direction of taking a chance. So this is a go-between. This is sort of a stopgap. See if the travel date gets pushed back again. We don't have the resources to be able to fill the gaps for all of the people that are unemployed indefinitely. So at some point, there needs to be a slow stage reopening of the visitor industry, because everybody is being impacted, not just the visitor industry. We're talking about food service industries. We're talking about every other trickle-down mom and pop that has lost a tremendous amount of customer count. So this is sort of a stopgap plan B. We have a team specifically formulated to work on the resort bubble and interface with the resorts themselves. So at the last check, there were five that felt that they had good systems in place to ensure employee safety, guest safety, and then make sure that people are able to stay on property.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the names, I wouldn't want to misspeak, but I would just say that there are a small group of resorts that have worked to make sure that they have the process and the system in place to ensure safety on all levels.
That was Kauai Mayor Derek Kawakami talking to us about managing the garden aisle during this pandemic, everything from resort bubbles to religious cults, and just getting people to stay home and stay safe.